You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody out there is having a better week than last week. It's been a tough one over the last week. We've seen a lot of tragedy and been reminded of some tragedy as well. And we wanted to sit back and kind of collect our thoughts a little bit. I got a special guest with me today, but wanted to collect our thoughts a little bit about everything that happened on September 10th and kind of see, you know, after we prayed about it, thought about it, and, you know, got in the word a little bit, see how we felt after going through everything that happened last week. So without any further ado, I have with me Ben, not the Sasquatch Ben. This is a different Ben, but we'll call him Ben C for now. But Ben is an amazing guy with a lot of experience, has seen a lot of things throughout his life as far as in the Christian faith and the growth and the movement of the church, been a part of a lot of those things, and his insight's going to be excellent in this. But we've talked about this a lot in the last week since this happened and really wanted to sit down and kind of open it up and see where we how we feel and see what God tells us we should be doing.
Yeah. I think you made the comparison kind of that 9/11, or you said that 9/11 was the next day after mm-hmm. Charlie was assassinated. And I've been thinking about that since. And I mean, 9/11 affected me, certainly, like it did a lot of people. But this is a whole different level with Charlie. It seems like when somebody like him, a guy you feel like, even though I didn't know him, I felt like I knew him, I felt like we were friends. I followed him for a long time, watched a lot of his stuff. Loved to see him, loved to listen to him. It was a great insight. So you feel like that, you feel that loss differently. Plus, when you have a man like that who you ideologically in your faith and in politics and you line up with him so closely, and then he's attacked for that very belief, that makes it pretty real. That brings it home to think, well, we've really gotten to the point now where they're going to start killing Christians. But with 9/11, it was more of a general attack. It was like an attack on all of us. It was an attack on America, you know, everybody. It wasn't, this was personal. This man was sought out for and assassinated for what he believed. that's pretty tough. It was hard to, and it still affected me.
I agree with you on that. The fact that they happen on, you know, well, I mean, the fact that we observe 9/11, obviously on 9/11, which, but the fact that happened the day before, and, you know, it was, it just, the whole week became a very sombering week. I mean, everything felt heavy. You felt pressure. You felt oppression. And it's weird because, you know, I watched Charlie Kirk on the, on, you know, Facebook reels or some of the other stuff. And really that's, you know, that's where you get most of the things that you've seen or, watched a couple other things on him on YouTube and whatnot. But when you really sit down and think about what he stood for, what he was doing, and how he was attacked for it. And I'm not, I just want to back this up because there's so many people that have varying opinion. Hell, I didn't agree with him or this. And I mean, first of all, if you ever celebrate anybody's death, I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's a death row inmate who has killed somebody and they're going and you're celebrating the fact that person died. That's not a celebration. There's no celebration in death unless you're thinking about it from the aspect that person's no longer suffering and they're in heaven now.
Right.
But there's no celebrating that someone's dead because the world's a better place without them. You can't do that. So it's just sad to me that I saw so much of that. It's sad to me, but this is the first time I've ever mourned somebody, literally mourned them without ever really knowing them. And I can't tell you why other than the fact that, like you said, I line up with him very much ideologically. I line up with him on his beliefs. I line up with him on even politically, but the whole thing is the fact that he was, and I don't understand the hate thing, because the fact that he would just say, he'd have open debate, he'd let you talk, but he would say what he believed. There was people that came to him that were very liberal. There was people that came to him that were transgender. There's people that came to him that were gay, and he'd have open conversations with them.
Right.
And it was very, you know, even I listened to one where they had the, there's this guy that come up and goes, I'm a gay conservative. And Charlie's like, you don't need to identify as both. Your sexuality shouldn't be your identifying characteristic. Mm-hmm. Like who you are is who you are. Sexuality is one part of our, but he said, he looked at the guy and goes, don't let that define you, but welcome to the conservative movement. Like he just a cool way that he brought that across. But the fact that you can say something in a place with free speech, well, used to be free speech.
Yeah.
A place where you have free speech and you're killed for it in our country. And it is, listen, it happens all over the world. I don't ever want to minimize any other place. This has been happening in Nigeria. We've seen this lately with Christians being slaughtered. Places like North Korea, if you acknowledge or even are suspected of being a Christian, you can be put to death on the spot, if not sent to a concentration camp. There's many places in the Middle East, Somalia or Iran, Iraq, places like this, where as a Christian, if you're vocal about your faith, you're going to be persecuted if not killed. This happens all over the place. Those people have been fighting with that for years, and it's amazing that they still have that faith where they step in and believe that, even though they know what would happen if they find out. But I know I'm rambling, Ben. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that that speaks to the power of the message, to the truth of the message. Because if somebody's willing to put them in a country like that where they know that the penalty for that is to be put to death, or your whole family could be, you watch your kids die before they kill you. when you know that, and yet you still believe, and you still have that faith, that lets me know that it's genuine, that it's real. I heard, as an anecdote, you probably don't remember this guy. I was a kid when this happened, but when Watergate happened, there was one of the guys was Chuck Colson, was one of the main guys in that whole scheme. And he became a Christian later on in prison. And he said, somebody asked him once, you know, how'd that come about? And he said, it came about from studying and learning and reading. And he said, it was, not to make light of it, but he said, I heard about these apostles and the way they died and the way they, you know, they lived their lives. And then the way they, every one of them died in some sort of a terrible way. But he said they never one time recanted their story. They never changed one little bit of it. They took that faith with them to the torture, to the death. And he said, we had 12 guys involved in Watergate. Some of the most powerful men in the world couldn't keep a story straight for 3 weeks. We all ended up in prison. He said, we couldn't keep a lie. He said, if somebody's willing to die, there's more to it than that. And he said, that's what got me started. And that's why he became a Christian, got born again, and he was a true voice for Christ till the rest of at the end of his life. It just, and when you see that, when that's genuine like that, and in those countries, that's real. But that's never been the case here. Now it's here. And as I was thinking about this in the last couple of days, people have taken it to, I guess in my past, and the way I've always been, is more of a libertarian take. I'm like, whatever you want to do, you just do it, you know. We can talk about the Lord, and you can ignore it, and you can just move on, and that's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Just leave me alone. Don't, you know, let me live my life the way I want to live it. And that's the way I was. And for a while, that was fine. But now it's gotten to the point where it's not fine with them. Not only do you have to give them room to do whatever they want to do, you have to acknowledge it, and you have to tell them it's good, it's fine, you know, that
take on that ideology.
Yeah, you have to say it's okay and they're doing the right thing and whatever. You have to agree. You can't just say, you go do whatever you want to do, I believe it's sin, but you go ahead and do it, I don't care. They're not satisfied with that. They want you to say no, it's fine, you're not gonna, you know. And it's come from that. Now it's ratcheting up to where they're ready to institute violence to get you to go along. And that's where I think that was the major switch last week, was now we're taking this is a different level. And that is worrisome, because you try to be, you know, live a life of peace and try to separate. That's the thing we've talked about before, where people on the left don't understand the concept of separating the sin from the sinner. And they can't wrap their head around that. You hate gay people. Well, no, I certainly don't. Do I think it's sin? Yeah. Do I think other things are sin? Yeah. Do they keep us from a relationship, you know, with God? But I don't hate that person. Jesus loves that person as much as he loves me. Mm-hmm. He died for that guy too. You know, I don't hate him. I'm not, you know, I'm called to not hate him. I'm called to love him and to try to, you know, do what I can to encourage him and share the Lord with him. But they don't have that fundamental base to come from, so they don't get it. So they just hate people who don't think like they do. And they think because someone like Charlie, because he's outspoken, that he hates them. Which if you watch any of his stuff, he repeatedly, just in his actions, will show you that he did not. The harshest I ever saw him get with somebody was a young man who said he was a Christian. He was harder on that kid than anybody I've ever seen. He literally told the man, okay, that's fine, you can leave now. Because the man was, the young man wanted Charlie to get on this gay bandwagon where they were bashing gay. He just said, well, the scripture says this and God hates this. And he wanted Charlie to, and Charlie wouldn't bite. He's like, no, no. And the guy just wouldn't stop. And he said, finally, Charlie just said, look, we've done this enough. This is, you've got to go. I moved on. And he went on to talk to a young lady who happened to be gay and had a conversation with her. And that, but that, that was the it's funny because that's the person that I, if you're going to say he was rude to somebody or he was, you know, it was that guy. And that guy supposedly was a Christian as well. But he did not have that, certainly didn't have that mindset of, you know, of the sinner and hate the sin.
It was a Pharisaic mindset.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I, one of the other things, and I think Charlie said this too, was we forget, and people say, well, Jesus, you know, and they, he always.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Just let people slide. He didn't condemn people. He didn't. And they use that story of the woman, the prostitute, that the guys were going to stone her. And Jesus said, okay. And you who, you know, don't have any sin in your life, you throw the first rock. And slowly the guys all put their rocks down and wandered away. Well, and then everybody stops the story right there because that's, okay, there's your grace. But now coming right behind that is the truth. And the truth is, he didn't tell the woman, ah, you're good, see ya. He said, what'd he say? He said, go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that. That's sin. Don't do that anymore. He didn't. He wasn't harsh. He wasn't accusatory. He didn't, you know, scream at her. He just said, yeah, just, you're good. Just go and don't do that anymore. And that's, I think, the attitude. And that's the thing that people miss, is there's a truth to it. He's not, yeah, Jesus hung out with people, you know, tax collectors and whatnot. But he told them the truth. He didn't, he wasn't there to accept their lifestyle or to accept their sin. He was there to point out to them they needed to stop doing whatever they were doing. But he was willing to walk into the fray, much like Charlie was, you know, and in a way that was graceful, but tell them the truth. And that's, I'm encouraged in one aspect because I've seen, I didn't realize what a big impact Charlie Kirk was having on the young people. I didn't realize how big that movement was. And I see a lot of, now in these different feeds, a lot of young people that are just literally on fire. There was a young lady the other day that said she had had some sort of an experience. Maybe she went to church when she was a kid, but she had fallen away. So she picked up a Bible for the first time in a long time. And she said, right in her car, sitting by herself, she just rededicated her life to the Lord because of what happened to Charlie. She picked up her Bible and did that. So that was on her last week. And she's just said, look, I'm done. This is real now, and I'm moving on. So there's one, you know, that, and how many do you need before it's been, you know? But there's story after story like that of young people that are, and I think I told you about the guy that in Highland Park, Michigan. I mean, on Woodward Avenue, that's a rough neighborhood. And they had 200 or 300 kids on the steps of an old church there singing worship songs at night in a memorial for Charlie Kirk. It was a rough part of town, and there were white kids, black kids, Hispanic kids, all together. That kind of thing's happening all over the country, which is encouraging. But still, it doesn't take away from the loss and the pain of the loss.
No, it absolutely doesn't. The thing, and I want to preface this in saying I'm not making any comparisons about the person. But if you go back, I do believe it's in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, if they'd have known, they would never would have killed Jesus. If they'd have known, they never would have killed Jesus. Because look at what happened as a result of Jesus' death. Obviously, he comes back, our sins are forgiven, and then everything happens.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to say I'm not comparing Jesus to anybody, but the situation.
Yeah.
So when you look at...
There are some similarities.
If you look at the fact that Charlie, who was a steeped in the Word, he was a very strong proponent for the Christian faith. He was very outspoken about it to anybody, really to anybody. Mm-hmm. And you see him show that with the people he talked to, with celebrities, with Donald Trump, with all these different people. And you think, I got another example that'll go into this, and you think, my gosh, it's such a loss, and it really is such a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a person who thought he was getting rid of the problem, this guy who kills Charlie Kirk thinks he's getting rid of this aspect, and he opened a whole can. And it goes back to the to Paul again. And once I'm not going to be able to pull the verse out of my head right now. But Paul says, I would much rather be with my Lord in heaven, but it's better for you that I'm here right now. Mm-hmm. So Charlie, Charlie's better off than all of us right now.
Mm-hmm.
This, as sad as that is, I feel absolutely terrible for his wife and kids. That's never how things are supposed to go. But God is going to take this, and God is going to do something miraculous out of it. And I think that's something, in the beginning, I sit there and think about, for example, I believe Utah has the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you sit there and think, this kid who does this, and, how would Jesus respond to this situation? Would Jesus, look at Paul, killing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus do? Instead of saying, smite you now, he said, I'm going to use you. Now, I believe Charlie would say that he would want this kid to turn his life around and be saved. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that somewhere down the rabbit hole in the future, this guy, whether it's in prison, whether it's wherever, whatever happens, that he finds Jesus before we get to that point. If we take that into our own hands, we're taking away the possibility of him finding Jesus. And I know that's going to be controversial to some people.
Well,
but man,
that's just an instance where Satan wins again. If that kid goes to his grave, a non-believer, regardless of how he gets there, whether he's...
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
No, I think, even going back to the part that we see. So you said that the part about Jesus, I think, is really cool, is when he's here on earth. You said the part about the woman being stoned. If you go back to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman,
mm-hmm.
He's like, where's your husband? She's like, oh, I'm not married right now. He's like, you're right. You've been married 5 times, and the guy you're with right now isn't your husband. And she's like, oh, my gosh. It's just mm-hmm. like, but he doesn't sit there. What does he do? He goes, I can give you living water. He doesn't. Right. He says, once again, we're not supposed to live that way.
Right.
But he does not sit there and say, you know what? You're going to hell for that.
Right.
He doesn't say that.
No, and but he does tell her the truth.
And that's not how Charlie Kirk was. Mm-hmm. That's not how he's talked. That's not how he prodded right. people. He didn't say any of that stuff. What he did was... I told you that kid before, he said, me and you are going to disagree on your lifestyle. He mm-hmm. goes, I don't believe it's right, but I hope the best for you. I mean, this is the whole thing is I want you to find Jesus. He's out there doing what we should all be doing. He's out there being vocal about his faith. Yeah. Not, it does not matter who's in front of him. He is going to be honest and vocal about his faith. I'm sitting here at 45 years old, sitting there thinking about how much time have I wasted not being vocal about my faith. I'm sitting here thinking he was 14 years younger than me. And that guy had stood on a platform, and yeah, it started out as more of a political platform, but he turned that into a voice to talk about the gospel. And he never for 1 second thought this is going to hit, you know, this, I'm going to take a hit, or I'm going to take a hit here or there. No, he stood on business. He stood on the gospel. He stood on what Jesus preached.
Yeah, he did. And that's something else that, I mean, it's funny that you say that, because I'm a lot older than you are, but I think look back like that too and think of all the foolishness and the time I wasted ignoring God and not doing what I, you know, should have been doing and getting myself in situations that shouldn't have been in. And the truth is, it hasn't been till the last probably 15 years or more that I started to come back. I'm like the poster child for the prodigal son and the verse about training up a child in the way they should go. I'm kind of that all rolled into one, and hadn't had a mom that prayed for me every minute, I wouldn't be here.
I think we got that in common.
Yeah, I think we do. And I, like you, I think that's another thing that's come to me is like a sense of urgency. Like, this thing feels like it's drawing to a close. And over the week, I felt this kind of a sense of urgency that we got to get with it. We got to, you know, I need to be like that. I need to be a little more vocal. I need to be encouraging people. That's what the pastor was talking about, encouragement tonight. And just, and do affect your world right where you are. You know, you don't have to move off to some foreign land. You can affect people right where you're at. It's being open to that and having your eyes open that you can see it when it comes. My mother was a great example of that, and I watched her had such a sensitive heart, and she could just pick up on that, and she didn't matter where she was. And she lived that. She lived that faith too. Everywhere with everyone, and it still encourages me today, and I want to be more like that. And that was really encouraging. I mean, I think that's the other thing I've been thinking about is these people that, because I think after this event, you're thinking, well, what can I do? How can I be more effective? Help me just make a small difference in somebody's life today. Be what I should be. And I think if any good of this came out of it for me, that's what it's done. It's created a fire or a deep desire to take this up a few notches, you know, to not just go through my day and, you know, to actually be actively looking for somebody to bless or to, you know, whatever I can do.
I think a big thing, and I'm not speaking directly at you, Ben, I'm speaking to everybody that listens to this and including myself, but this is something I've had to talk to myself about many times, kind of try to put myself back in the right mind, is that, you know, you talk about not being comfortable in front of people. That's never, ever been my forte. I've never been someone who wanted to public speak, never been someone to want to be in front of people. But the things that are coming out of just doing this has, you know, doing the podcasting and all these things. And the podcasting thing was not, I always thought of myself more as a spectator with the dig in the beginning, because, you know, Justin was kind of going through some stuff and bringing up some stuff, and I was just, you know, having questions and kind of answering until I started digging in myself and really getting deep into it. But it's something that took me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And God is never, ever, I'm telling you right now, God's never going to let you stay in your comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, then you're not reaching everybody you can reach. And that's, mm-hmm. that's where I know I have failed. I have failed many times. And I want to look at this whole thing. And I think that what you're seeing right now, after Charlie's passing and you see the Christian community coming alive, you're seeing both sides of a pretty big spiritual warfare, the very evil side, and then you see the other side where Christians are stepping up and actually being more vocal about their faith. But I want you out there to look at this and think of this as a call. Mm-hmm. I want you to step up and say, what can I, like you just said that whole thing, what can I, you know, put somebody in my path today. And the second mm-hmm. part of that prayer was, and please don't let me miss it.
Right. That's the big thing for me. I don't know how many times that's happened where I felt the nudge, you know, whether it's just, hey, go talk to that guy, or, hey, you know, do this, or, and late, and I just like, nah, I can't do that. It's not, I wouldn't, what, I get embarrassed, you know, whatever. And what if they tell me to, you know, whatever, say I'm a freak, or, you know, so you just don't do it. And then later you're like, ah, and you knew you missed it, you know, and you just talk to the Lord and say, please forgive me for that. Give me another shot, you know. Recently, I heard a young man who's a pastor from, he's from Africa somewhere, and he told the story of how he felt like the Lord was telling him to go to a church or to a hospital in their little community and pray for, he has a healing ministry. And the Lord told him to go to that hospital and pray for everybody that's in there. I don't want any sick people. It was New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. He said, I don't want any sick people in there to start the new year. And the guy, long story short, he just avoided it. He was actually crouched, he said it physically, in a corner of his house.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do it. And he finally, after talking to a friend, he went to church. And after church, he was encouraged and he said, oh, I'll go do it, I'll go do it, I'll go in the morning. So he didn't go when the Lord told him to go. He went in the morning. So he's there New Year's Day in the morning, and he walked in and talked to whoever met him at the door, the nurse or somebody. Told him who he was and told him what he was there for. And she said, well, you're too late. She said, we got nobody here. He said, what do you mean you have nobody here? And she said, Jesus came last night and healed everybody. She said, we were unplugging machines and everybody went home. And he was devastated. And he said he went home just weeping. And Lord, forgive me. You know, I know you told me to do that. But it's almost an encouragement in itself. And that's why I think he was saying it was to encourage people to do what you feel the Lord prompting you to do. And I've just been, particularly this past week, but it's been on my heart to do that for a while now, but this has turned it up, it turned the burner up last Wednesday or Tuesday, whenever that was.
The 10th.
Yeah. That was like, this is getting real. And it's bringing it close to home. I mean, when I was younger, some guys I used to hang around with the church, we were talking about, you know, persecution of Christians, and they were talking about a subject came around to football, and one of the guys said, because we were in Michigan at the time, one of the guys said, well, it ain't going to be long and there's going to be real lions in the arena, and they're going to be throwing us Christians in there. And we all thought that was a funny joke, but it's actually not as funny now, you know, when you see it, it's becoming real. And when it hits the ground, I mean, in the countries that you mentioned, those people have never had the foundational bill of right, the right to say whatever they want ever in those countries. They don't have that as a foundation in their country. So, you know, they have that threat over them, regardless kind of what they say. If they don't go along with the government line. And here we've just never had that, and now it's become... It's like I think these people, and I think we've touched on this before, but I think the people on the left, you don't see that kind of activity against anybody else, any other group, the Muslims, the Hindus, whatever. You don't see that, Buddhists, whatever. And I truly believe, and I think you do, I know you do too, that it's conviction. Somewhere deep down inside them, they know that the Bible's true. They know that Jesus is Lord. They know. But they refuse to acknowledge it, either willingly or, you know, whether they actually understand it or not. There's some sort of conviction that's happening that's conflicting inside of them, and that's what makes them lash out. And I never, the first time, this is going to date me again too, but the first time I ever saw this, and it didn't result in any physical violence, but this, I don't know if you remember when they had the whole Waco standoff back in the day with David Koresh and all the people in Waco, Texas. That was in the 90s. Clinton was president, and I was a young guy, and we were watching this, and I remember thinking, why, you know, it's a cult, but they really weren't hurting anybody, and they're just being weird. Well, that's not a crime in America. It's not supposed to be. And we had this little coffee shop we used to go to, and the waitress that was in there was just ranting and raving about that and how the government, you know, needed to do something. And then the government did, and they ended up incinerating all those people. I mean, 70 people, like 22 children and something lost their lives. It was a ton, you know, just a lot of people were killed that day. And this waitress was almost, she wasn't giddy about it, but she was like, well, they got what they had coming. I said, this, what? Well, you know, the government should have done, I said, they don't have the right to just come kill somebody. The government killed those people. And she said, no, that's okay, they were crazy. I said, well, who determines who's crazy? You know, so we kind of had that discussion, and that was, I don't even want to say how long ago that was, but it was a long time ago. And I kind of got a little glimpse into that heart then, and it just shocked me that she would think that way, that she would think that it was okay. Because somebody was doing something that she didn't think was right. She thought the guy was crazy, that he had this cult. Maybe he was crazy. Maybe they certainly had, you know, it was sort of a loose, you know, under the auspices of Christianity, but there was nothing. I mean, there was there was a serious distortion of the truth and any kind of biblical truth. And but still, you don't go in and just execute people. Mm-mm. And she was the first person that I ever saw that was all for it. She was up, yeah, kill him. And I remember how shocked I was. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you really feel that way? Yeah, they're crazy. I said, well, it isn't against the law to be crazy. They're not harming anyone but themselves if they're there voluntarily, you know. So I'd kind of forgotten about that moment until this past week, and I thought, yeah, I guess that feeling's always kind of been there among certain people. But it's never manifested. Well, no, I can't say never, but it's until last week, it really hadn't gotten to the point of assassination. There's been violence. I mean, there's been some of these riots and some of these things where property has been destroyed and people have been injured, but nothing to this level.
I think, I mean, we go back and talk about people who have obviously died for their faith. I mean, we can talk about MLK Jr. I mean, he's another good example of somebody who stood on what he believed. I mean, there was he had some other factors when we talk about the racism at the time and some other things that were going on.
Certainly that played a role in it.
But there's so much when you talk about when somebody has a certain idea and they stand on a certain platform and they are not scared, they don't stand behind anything, that, you know, MLK Jr. was an amazing, amazing man.
He was.
And he stood on business. He stood on his beliefs. He stood on what he knew was true. And then you could even go back and we talked about JFK. Mm-hmm. JFK killed, and for what he believed and how he actually didn't believe we were going in the right direction as a country.
Right.
And you can go through conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, whatever, but when you don't agree, when somebody doesn't agree with you, that somebody thinks they have the right to take the matter into their own hands. And we go back and talk about Jesus, right? So think about your entire life. When Jesus came down, he's born, starts his ministry at about 30 years old. He's on earth for 3 years, truly preaching, getting after it, right? And it's all in God's timing. And I always said, it's not yet my time. And when certain things came, and then first thing happens is the miracle of water to wine. But you go through all these things and you see Jesus, he comes down. He like you said, he dined with sinners. He was there. And even the Pharisees, he's like, they sit there and rip on him. Like, why would you do this? And he's like, it's the sick that need a doctor.
Exactly.
So when you go through and look at how he behaved, he didn't judge in the way that we're thinking of judging. He didn't agree with certain things. Obviously, as Lord God, he knows what's wrong. And he'd tell people, you need to stop doing this. But we have, and I'm not telling you to wait, but we have literally, Jesus doesn't judge us now. We are in the way that, with finality, right? We have conviction. We have that knocking on our hearts when Jesus is coming after us. We have all those things where we're like, we're doing something wrong and we're living in that sin. We're continuing with that sin. And, we know we need to fix this. We need to turn this around. We need to ask for forgiveness. But if you just were, okay, I fell off the wagon here. Now I'm done. It's not that way. Jesus, not until we get to the end of time, truly, we talk about the white throne judgment when you get to Revelation. But you have your life, and I'm not telling you to wait. I'm not telling you to sit there. You can live your life and wait till the very end to say, the words. But we all struggle. We all go through things. We all have different things that happen to us. But Jesus isn't judging you right now based on everything that you're doing in your life judging with finality. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to live in sin. He doesn't want you to do these things. But he gives you time to turn it around. He's knocking on your heart right now. He's telling you, hey, the conviction you're feeling, it's wrong. But you can turn it around. You still have time. Mm-hmm. Right now is as good a time as any to turn your life around and give it back to God and start going in the right direction. Start living for God in that way. And that's something that I have to reset myself sometimes, because I feel like I'm doing pretty good certain times. I'm reading my Bible. I'm in it. I'm trying to witness to people. I'm trying to tell them things. I'm trying to do these different things. And then all of a sudden a week goes by and I didn't touch my Bible.
Right.
And that's just where we're stuck sometimes, but we need to keep recentering ourselves. We're not perfect. But just know, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're doing right now, you can set it down. You can step back. You can ask God for forgiveness. And you can recommit your life to him.
Right. Yeah. That's powerful. And I was thinking while you were saying that, that's another thing that has been thrown, and you've had it happen to you too, because we all have. It's thrown in our face about judging. Don't be judgmental. You're being judgmental. And that somehow judgmental, because, you know, people always throw that verse, you know, out, don't judge lest you be judged, whatever, scripture. But somehow that judgmental has taken the place of telling the truth. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I don't have the power to judge you, for one thing. Judgment means involve some sort of sentence or, you know, condemnation or sending you off somewhere. I don't have the power to do that.
Or taking someone's life.
Or taking your life, yeah. I don't have the power to do that. That's not up to me. I do have the ability to tell you the truth. This is what I think. This is why I think this. And this is the truth. There's no getting around it. I'm not being judgmental at all. You're confusing terms. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that I see that's been done a lot, where words have become, people, you throw these words out that either they just, I think they do it because it's effective. They know what they're doing. I don't think it's innocent. But words like Nazi or racist or
Fascist,
the words that they really, anybody who would sit down and say, what is a fascist? And would look at the people that they're calling fascists, would say, no, they don't fit that bill. But it's easy, and that started a long time ago politically. You saw that in the political arena, and it was very successful because when you just throw that out there, you just, for lack of a better word, you're like throwing a grenade or a bomb at somebody. You just, opponent, political opponent or whatever, you just say, well, he's a whatever. Pick your word of the day. He's a Nazi or he's a racist or he's whatever. You say that and then the news runs with it, and then the guy that you said it about, he can't defend himself in a soundbite, you know, so he's got to try to spend 3 days explaining why he's not what you said he was. And by that time, they've labeled you with a bunch of other stuff. So people aren't taking the time. Anybody who's taken the time at all to watch more than 10 minutes of any Charlie Kirk, whether it's an interview, podcast, a college campus event, some of those open forum things where I've seen him do that with different people. Anybody who's watched any of that for any more 10 minutes would know he's none of those things that are.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why he said he was. The left said he was. They just throwing the words out there. Because he doesn't agree with, you know, they don't agree with him. And in their heart, I just know they're feeling convicted about it. So they got to do something to try and alleviate that. So they try to discredit him in some way. Charlie Kirk, in his simplest form, he was a truth teller. He loved people and he told the truth and he died for it. I had an aunt that used to say that everyone had their own truth. She would say, she you have your truth and I have my truth. Everybody has their own truth. And my sainted mother, her sister, would say to her, but then there is the truth.
I think we need to really look and step back and say, okay, in this format that he was doing where he was openly talking to people, he's giving people a voice to say their piece, whether he agreed with them or not, because there was many that he agreed with, there's many that he didn't.
Right.
And I think that we have to be able to have discussions. I think it's really important that whoever you are, just because I disagree with you on a certain subject doesn't mean we don't agree on 90% of other things. We very well could, but too often we let just one issue separate us. Yeah. We let one issue become a hot topic that drives people apart, causes separation. And I think that's something that we as a people need to get back to being able to use our brains a little bit on our own, because it's there's fault on both sides of the political spectrum when it comes that way, because we've been taught you have to say this or do this or, you know, whatever it is. When you talk about the certain side, you have to believe in this and you have to believe in that. And listen, there are certain issues I will stand firm on till the day I die. There is absolutely no room for things like abortion, things of that nature. I will stand on that hill. However, there are other things where we're just going to have some disagreements. And guess what? I'm going to love you even if we don't agree. I have plenty of friends that definitely don't agree with me. Mm-hmm. Plenty of friends that don't agree with me. Guess what? We have great conversations. Some of my closest friends, we have big differences in opinion about some non-salvation things, even in the Bible. And I believe I'm right. They believe they're right. Does that mean that anything changes about our friendship? No. But when we go to any place that we're out, if somebody has a, I don't know, you can go and even think about it in sports, right? Think about, I'm a Michigan fan. We're from Michigan originally. You see somebody from Michigan State, and you know, oh, and on game day, you're rivals, right? You know, you hear the trash talk and begin. But you know what? That's one aspect. And a lot of those people are my friends on non-game days. But a lot of people are they're my friends. But you have to think about it. Like, why do we let these things separate us? Why do we let, just because you have one different view here, this different view here, this different view here, we got to be able to talk about it, discuss it, and have an educated, calm conversation, not let it rule how you view somebody, how you treat somebody, and ultimately get to the point where someone would take somebody's life just over a different viewpoint.
Right.
That part is the part that I can't handle, as far as like trying to process that in my mind. I could never imagine disagreeing with so much that I would take someone's life. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing. I can never do that. Mm-hmm. Jesus wouldn't want me to do that, first right. off. But how can you just disagree with somebody to that point? I can't fathom that. I'd rather sit and have a conversation with you. I've had 2-hour conversations with people that I agree absolutely nothing with, and they are just so bang on their viewpoints, coming after you with them. And I'll sit and I'll listen. I will give you the floor. You're not going to change my mind, especially if it's about my beliefs, but I will give you the floor. Mm-hmm. I just ask and request in return that you allow me to say my piece as well. And don't just shoot it down. I let you say your piece. Let me say mine, but let's do it in a civil manner.
Right.
And that's where we've lost it in this country. Even if you look, go to England, people are getting arrested right now, and they have been for a bit now. They said, I think it's like 30 people a month or so, if what I read is correct, which, once again, you can't believe everything you hear, but it's like 30 people or something a month now that are getting arrested just for their tweets or Facebook posts or whatever on social media, because they go against what the government tells you. Mm-hmm. So if you don't agree with something, you can be arrested just by saying something on a public forum. I mean, that's starting to get closer and closer to home. When we talk about like Middle Eastern countries where there is a lot of hate towards Christians, the Asian countries, like I said, about like North Korea, Even China, you know, there's a lot of hate towards Christians. The fact that you can just believe something and be convicted, like to the point where, you know, you're in North Korea and you just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Kill him.
Yeah.
How much of a threat does Jesus to you, which he obviously is, how much of a threat is Jesus to you for you to automatically go to that point? You hate Christianity so much because you know it's the thing that people have hope, that they have faith, that they know that there is something so much greater. In a communist country, guess what? We're going to try to cut the legs out from the Christian church, so we're going to murder them while they're here. How scared are you of the truth that that's the only option that you feel like you have? Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind.
It does. Let me think if I was privileged actually enough to work for a company part-time for many years driving the charter buses, you know, on the weekends. And it was a fun job because you got to meet a lot of those people. People I wouldn't normally ever meet anywhere. I mean, you got to take groups of black people places and learn about them and hear their stories. And then I was with Hispanic people, with the Chaldean ladies that we've talked about that were just, I learned so much from them. And you also learn that there are a lot more similarities in us than differences. It's just different, or, you know, you come from a different situation. But I think men, as men around the world, we have kind of the same struggles as men. Women, same thing. And I think it's just a difference in, you know, where you're at. And I think we, like you were talking about, I think we got a lot more in common than we think we do. And if we can just get past all the, well, I'm not talking to them because they're whatever. There's a man just like you are, you know, he puts his pants on the same way you do, you know. You're no better than he is. And, you know, you're blaming him, telling him he's a sinner. But look at your own life, you know. Absolutely. And that's really what it's come down to. It's a time for people. We have to make a choice. You're either going to choose good or evil. And the problem, as I see it, is the people on that side, the people that are perfectly fine with Charlie being assassinated, think they're in the right. They think that's, they're not the evil. They don't see themselves as being evil. They see someone like him as being evil. Somebody who, if there was anybody in the last, I don't know how many decades, that truly embodied the spirit of the Lord and the you know, the way we should live and lived it, it was him. I mean, he treated people exactly how I would think Jesus would treat people. He was fair and considerate. And, you know, I like I said before, that the only person I ever saw him really get ugly with was a fellow Christian. And it was for saying hurtful things about gay people. Just horrible things.
Now let's... We've been a little bit doom and gloom on here. And listen, I know it's one of those
it's
things.
It's doomy and gloomy. It's
well,
not a...
it is. But we have to think and we have to focus on the fact that and it is. It's hard. It's heavy. That's the best word I could say the last week is I felt heavy. Everything on my shoulders has felt heavy. My mind has been heavy. Everything's been heavy. But we have to focus on the fact that at some point, you know, we'll be with Jesus as well, and we'll never have to worry about anything like this ever again. But in the meantime, I like to reiterate that this is a call. You're seeing more people draw their lines in the sand than ever before. And I think That's part of God's plan, yeah. is that you're going to see very, like, you're either for me or you're against me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and it's coming. And you're right. Things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse. Mm-hmm. We know that. A lot of people will, because of the deception that's coming, will maybe think it is getting better. But when you look at scripture and look at the things that are foretold, the prophecies that are coming, it's a scary world that we're going to be living in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make a choice. And yeah,
I believe it. I believe that choice. I mean, it's a simple, I mean, it's now to the point. You got to pick. Are you going to be on good or evil?
Yep.
There's no more gray area. There's no more lukewarm. There's no more just going through the motions and, oh yeah, I'm a Christian today because I'm at church, and then the rest of the week, whatever. That's over. That's done. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be headed in the right direction. I want to continue to grow and continue to do what I can do and not be content where I'm at. Not be, oh yeah, I'm good. I read my Bible this morning. I'm fine. I don't want to ever get to that point of complacency where I think, no, I've got it down. I'm good. You know, the rest of these people need to get it together. No, because I don't have it together. And I don't ever want to think that I do. And I don't ever want to, I just believe that. I think with the heaviness that you talked about, I think that there's a lot of good that's going to come out of it. It's a very horrible event, but not that we shouldn't mourn for it. I mean, there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with mourning and grieving in our hearts for him and for his family and for the loss that we all feel. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to do that. And then we carry on with the mission, which is exactly what Charlie Kirk would want everyone to do, is to carry on. Don't give up. Don't proceed in anger. I mean, you can, don't lash out at people. Don't, you know, try to get revenge, whatever. Carry on, you know, keep moving forward and trying to reach people and tell people the truth. And that's what he would want us to do. I mean, I'm sure of it. I mean, I never met the man, but I listened to enough of his stuff. I just know that's what he would be about.
Well, I would just say this. I challenge everybody out there to pray that prayer every morning. Wake up and pray, Lord, please put someone in my path today that I can reach for you. And at the same time, please don't let me miss it.
Great.
Just continue to focus on your faith. Continue to focus on the mission, the Great Commission, and push forward knowing that there is somebody out there that if you don't reach out, I mean, God can still use somebody else, but man, I never want to get up to heaven and God say, why didn't you talk to that guy? Why didn't you push and reach out to mm-hmm. that? Why didn't you go ahead and talk to these people? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I don't ever want to sit and think I could have done more.
Yeah.
And that more, that starts right now.
Yep.
There's no judgment for the past. We're done. We're past that. Let's start right now. Let's make a positive change. Let's focus on bringing more people towards Jesus. Let's focus on strengthening our families, creating strong foundations for them. Let's focus on trying to make this world the best thing that it can be through sharing Christ with everybody that comes around us. And I challenge everybody out there to focus on that, have that prayer and man, just don't miss those opportunities when they come along.
I try to work diligently at being more Christ-like every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess in its essence, that's essentially what this event has done to me. It's brought it home. To take everything up a notch and to it's made it real. It's time. It's not a game. It's life or death.
Well, on that extremely cheery note, Debbie Downer over here.
Sorry.
Well, I appreciate everybody listening. I hope that even though a lot were all affected by this and how it's made us think, it sit back and mourn someone who was truly amazing and a person who was founded in his faith. I hope that you can take something from this and move forward and know that it's a call for you to step up. It's a call for you to show your faith, to reach people around you, to put your flag in the sand and say, this is the team I'm on. So, without any further ado, as always, guys,
keep digging.
John 10:10, the enemy has come to lie, steal, cheat, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Psalm 97:10, if you love God, you must hate evil. And then one of my favorite verses for those people that have, if you are going through difficulty or if you see something bad and you're not sure how it can work out, Genesis 50:20, which is what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. And then, of course, Romans 12:2, which was God will use all things for good for those who love him.
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.